You're listening to Rendezvous with a Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rendezvous with a Writer, where readers and writers meet.
And story is everything.
We host tonight Jim and Bobby Bell, and you've been listening to the Hot Texas Swing Band.
Alex Dormont. And our good friends out of Dripping Springs, Texas.
Is that a town?
It is. And we so appreciate Alex allowing us to use this music at the beginning and the end of every show. This is episode 185. When you're wanting to rewatch it or pick it up on audio on Podbean later this evening. And we're really happy that you've come along with us, whether you're with us live or you're picking this up later today or tomorrow or 6 months from now. Thank you for riding along. And Jim, who are our guests tonight?
John and Joanne Lowell.
And here they are. Welcome.
Coming.
John, and welcome, Joanne. And we're so excited. You are with us. We're going to be talking tonight about your brand new album that I can't get enough of. And the title of the album is?
On My Way Home.
On My Way Home. Wonderful. So, John, and you're in the same, I believe you're in the same house. So where are you joining from this evening?
We're both in Livingston, Montana. I'm downstairs in my office and Joanne's upstairs in hers.
Very good.
Well, you know, we've known each other for a while now, over a number of years. And last year in November, we were all together in Albuquerque at the annual International Western Music Association Conference, the IWMA. And we were in the bar.
We were.
And Joanne was sitting next to me. And I think, John, you might have been on the other side of Joanne. Mm-hmm. But Joanne and I, we had chatted before, but we really had like a gab fest, didn't we, Joanne?
We did. It was fun.
It was fun. And she announces to me, you know, we're working on an album and it's going to be out. It's going to be out next year. And we want to be on Rendezvous with a Writer. And can you arrange that? And here we are.
And now she apparently, she knew it. Jim. She knew that Jim would say maybe. So
Jim was sitting on the other side of Bobby. Mm-hmm.
You know, as we were saying earlier, I couldn't hear a word that you two were talking about. So
I couldn't either.
It's all right. It's all good. So we have a lot to cover tonight. Our goal is we're going to focus, of course, on the album. We're going to be playing some short clips of a number of songs. And we're just delighted to have you with us. It's just wonderful. So
we have bios.
Jim, do you want to introduce them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Short bios. We edited things a little bit. Okay. John Lowell. John has been performing in the Mountain West for the past 43 years. He's toured the world with his bands, including Growling Old Men and the John Lowell Band. John is a triple threat, songwriter, singer, guitarist, and his smooth voice is heard on many albums. He performs worldwide and has been featured on Garrison Keillor's Prairie Home Companion, and was awarded the 2024 Montana Governor Arts Award, which is the highest honor one could receive for working in literary, visual, or performing arts. That's great. Joanne Gardner Lowell, a singer for over 40 years, Joanne has shared stages with folks like Rodney Crowell, Emily Harris, and Vince Gill. Joanne and John live in Livingston, Montana, where they produce musical events, and Joan has a naughty blues band of her own.
Yeah.
The duo has been performing John's original songs and some favorite covers for a decade. Tonight we'll be featuring songs from the brand new album, On My Way Home. Welcome. So, Joanne, we got to talk about it.
We got to ask that question.
What's a naughty blues band?
Well, I started this, I got involved in this band, and we just do slightly naughty songs from the 20s, 30s, and 40s. They're not really nasty. They're just a tiny little bit suggestive. And we actually lost our piano player. He's moved away. So we haven't been doing it for a couple of years, but our most fun shows were always the naughty Christmas shows, because there's just a lot of naughty songs around, you know, stockings and sliding down the chimney. And, you know, there it's all, everybody's in a good mood at Christmas and you can just be a little bit naughty. And we all had a really good time.
Kissing Santa Claus. Yeah, I can. How fun. Yeah.
You check ID at the door or what?
No, but there was nothing we would say that would offend a kid, because it was all sort of, you know, double entendre. So a kid wouldn't really pick it up. We had
the
show.
Yeah, how fun.
Yeah.
So, John, you know, we these album covers, we hadn't really planned to ask you this question, but all the album covers, including the new one, they just work together, don't they? Like books in a series, you know? How, and then again, I'll hold up the new one. So how did that come about, and who's the mastermind behind that?
Him.
I guess me, I guess. That one that you have there with the painting, that the I am going to the West. I remember when I was recording that, it was my very first solo record, and I didn't know what I was going to call it. I didn't know what. I just knew I was going to put it out. And then I was driving home from the studio along the Yellowstone River, and I saw this rock formation that just looked so Western. I mean, it was just like this iconic Western rock formation. And all of a sudden, it was amazing. In my mind, everything just tumbled into place. I knew what I was going to call a record. I knew what the title cut was going to be. I knew what the painting was, what the cover was going to be, because that is a painting by a friend of mine who's since left us. His name was Chip Drush. And I asked him if I could use it for the cover, and he said, yes, absolutely. So that started the whole thing of using paintings by friends of mine. So the next one was a long stretch of gravel, which is actually a photograph that was taken by a friend of ours down by Yellowstone Park. It got photoshopped to look like a watercolor. Yeah. But the next one was She's Leaving Cheyenne, which was a painting by a friend of ours, Clyde Aspavig.
Oh, Clyde.
Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with Clyde?
Yes, a little. Yes, I believe he was often a participant in the Autry Museum's Paintings of the West, the fine art show and sale every year in February. I've not been there for a number of years, but when I was there, I remember that he was a participant.
Yeah, Clyde's like the Michael Jordan of landscape artists. Mm-hmm. He paints these gigantic, you know, like 10 feet wide and 10 feet tall paintings with these big, long paintbrushes. And I asked him if he knew of anybody that I could maybe a protege of his, and that I could talk to about a painting. And he said, well, what about me? What's wrong with me? Like, Clyde, I can't afford your stuff. And he said, get over here. So I went over to his studio, and he had all these proofs and these plastic sleeves laid out for me. Cause I told him what the title was. I said, I can't use any mountain scenes. I need a prairie scene. And, so he had all these things, but that particular painting was hanging on his wall. And I walked over there and said, how about this one? He said, yeah, if you want that one, fine. So that's what we picked. And then that pretty much sealed the whole thing. The next one, Snow in the Wine Glass, painted by a dear friend of ours, Janie Camp, that lives right here in Livingston. And that's the Yellowstone River. And that's not actually the Wine Glass Mountain, but it looks like it.
Yeah, it does.
The photograph on our most recent record, that I'm on my way home, that actually is the Wine Glass Mountain.
Oh, got it. Well, that's quite a story. Because so with the first one, the very first one that you talked about, I'm Going to the West, was that your first also you were called to the West? You've been all of these albums are very grounded in the West, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. That's, the West and in general, and Montana in particular, is consider it my essence. It's I can't imagine living anywhere but Montana.
All right.
And
I want to
Joanne?
ask Joanne another question about Nashville.
But
But
Montana is a Nashville.
you obviously spent some time there, and there's that famous street, 16th Avenue. Did you have an office there, or did
I
you work
did.
there?
I absolutely had an office on 16th Avenue. Roseanne Cash and I had a music video production company, and
Oh my
we
gosh.
made a lot of music videos for an awful lot of people, and it was a really fun. We were the only woman-owned business on Music Row, and we made some pretty famous videos. We made the video with Hank Williams Jr. and his father, where they sing together, called Tear in My
Oh,
Beer. We
yeah.
made that video, and it was nominated for a Grammy and won a lot of awards. That
That
was
was
pretty
pretty
cool.
cutting-edge technology. Seeing
It was. It
Hanks
was great.
was dead.
And
Yeah.
we worked with Vince
Yeah.
Gill, and we worked with Rodney Crowell, of course, and we worked with Tanya Tucker and Alison Krauss and all kinds of folks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was
Wow,
fun.
what a life.
Yeah.
What a life you two have had. And you just came back from Ireland.
We did. Just
Yeah.
last week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what was that?
Well, yeah. What was that like?
What was
What did
that
you
like?
see? What did you do?
Well, we actually had the opportunity to bring about 30 people on a musical tour of the west coast of Ireland. And the tour was totally handled by a tour company. They had all of our hotels worked out. We were driven on this bus so that we didn't have to drive on the wrong side of the road. Well, I mean, they think it's the right side of the road, but you know, it can be off-putting. And we got to see the most beautiful things. And then at the end of every day, there were several musicians that came with us. We would have an opportunity to play music for our bus group, or have musicians come in and play, or we would go out into pubs and join local musicians. It was just very musically focused, and we had a blast, and we had the most beautiful weather. You just don't
Oh.
often hear about sunny days in Ireland, but I think we saw our
Very
shadow
good.
all but about half of one day.
Wow,
Wow, that's
it's
good.
gorgeous. Wow.
Yeah,
Have you
it
done?
was. Go ahead, John.
Was just an amazing trip. We had about 11 people besides us from our little town of Livingston that went along. And one woman, she when she walks, it's with a walker, so we had a wheelchair for her. And someone told me after she got back here that she told them that was the best trip of her life. And
Oh, that's
she
great.
Marcia's 80 something.
Wow.
Young,
Wow.
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what do you like about performing together, and you also write together? What is that that brings joy to you?
Well, when I go out on, I often, every year I go to Europe and I play in a trio that's an international trio, mandolin players from Italy, from Genoa, Italy, and the bass players from Germany, and it's a 2 week tour. I made sure that it only lasts two weeks. But after about 1 week, I'm about done. I'm ready to come home. But when I'm on tour, because I'm missing Joanne, and but when we're on tour together, we went on tour for 2 months this
Oh, that's
past winter,
right.
and it's great because I'm with the person I want to be with, and she's such a great singer, and her musical sensibilities are quite strong, and they match mine.
So how'd you meet?
Well, I left. I was working at a record company in Los Angeles. And one day they came in and they said, "Hey, we're going to merge with another record company, and you're not going to be the head of music video anymore. This other guy is going to be the head of music video." And I said, "Oh, well, okay." And so they said, "Can we pay you a lot of money to go away?" And a friend of mine had just decided to buy a hot springs in Montana. So I was living in Southern California, and I came out here because I sort of invested in that hot springs. And I thought, well, heck, I'll just come out here and hang out in Montana. So I arrived, and the very first guest artist that we had at the Hot Springs, musical guest artist, was John. So I was able to meet John about 23 years ago. And we started talking, and it turned out that our birthdays are within about 18 hours of each other. And so for years, when we'd see each other at festivals or on the street, it's like, hey, birthday twin, you know. And I know everybody wonders, I'm older. So I'm kind of a cradle robber. So for one
18
day,
hours.
Yeah, 18 hours.
Day, I'm 1 year older, but that's all. And then it stops. So that's how we met. And then, you know, we just see each other and kind of stay in touch around our birthdays.
Well,
yeah, we'd see each other and things like that. And
John was married and raising his family. And then some years later, he wasn't married. And we and I invited him to come out and sing at the Hot Springs. And, you know, we started seeing each other. So. Yeah.
We love those stories. Yeah. We love love stories.
Yeah. And we've been married 9 years. It'll be 9 years.
9 years. Congratulations.
And did you want to say probably 12?
Yeah. That's so fun. We love these stories.
I just want to ask a quick question about that 2 month tour. Was that totally in the States, or did that include Europe too? Or
no, it was totally in the States. We started out, we left here February 2nd. And the idea was to get out of the snow and the cold, but this winter there was no snow and no cold.
That's right.
But we went to Sun Valley and did a show, and then we went down to Southern California and visited Joanne's brother for a week, and then we went to Arizona, did a few shows in Southern Arizona, and then on to Texas, where we rented a house in Fredericksburg.
Fredericksburg.
Used that as a base of operations. And did a lot of songwriter stuff. You know, we'd go out, come back, and then we worked our way back up through Oklahoma and Amarillo. And did a show with Randy Palmer. Song with Randy while we were there. And then
With Sarah Pierce, did a show with Stephanie Davis, did a show with Susan Mitchell, did a show with Mike Blakely. So we did a lot of
Mike. I remember with Mike.
We did a lot of music.
How fun. Yeah. Well, we're going to take a very short break so we can get into the album. So let us just ask this question of our audience. Are you a writer? Our sponsor is Blue Cottage Agency, and Clicks by Madison are standing by to assist you. And here's a special offer created just for you and we, Rendezvous with a Writer. We took advantage of this offer. When we come back, we'll hear a little bit of the song Jubilee Cafe from John and Joanne Lowell's new album, On My Way Home. So you don't want to go away. We'll be right back. Authors, welcome home. Every author needs a website, a home base for their brand. Professionally showcase your books and brand with a custom website landing page starting at $369. Bluebookshelf.com. It's a great feeling to be home. Contact the Blue Cottage team today to get started.
Place I know where we all go on the other side of town. It ain't too much to look at, and it's a little bit run down. But once you walk in through the door, you'll want to spend all day. This restaurant has all you want, it's the Jubilee Cafe. Yeah, the coffee's always hot and strong, and the refill's always free. Daily Blue Play Special, boys, you know it can't be beat. There's no rush for you to leave, they hope that you will stay. And in a while you can't help but smile at the Jubilee Cafe. It don't matter who you are or wherever you call home, this is a place with a friendly face that you can call your own. So leave your troubles at the door and let them fade away. When you're in town, just come on down to the Jubilee Cafe.
We've been just listening to Jubilee Cafe. A great little song. No, that's got an interesting background, John. How did you come up with that?
Well, Joanne and I were driving through, we're driving to Boone, North Carolina on our way to a songwriter festival called Antlers and Acorns. And we're near Peoria, Illinois. Mm-hmm. And yeah. We just left our hotel and we're driving down the road. It was in the morning. I remember that. And mm-hmm. and we saw a sign. It wasn't a very big sign, but it was pointing down a side road and it said Jubilee Cafe. And wow. That is a cool name. I'm going to write that down. And so I did. And I had a writing session with my buddy, Rick Lang, who lives in New Hampshire. And when I told him about the Jubilee Cafe, he jumped on that one and said, let's do that. Let's write that. And so when we wrote it, we were envisioning, well, kind of like that graphic that you showed, you know, just a friendly comfort food place that I always say when I introduce it on stage, you know, I envision hippie girls in long tapestry dresses serving quinoa. And it's kind of a mythical place. There's a line in there that said, never mind, it's on the house, you don't have to pay. Yeah. And that kind of gives you the clue it's a mythical place. But
you know, you never quite got there, right?
They just saw the sign.
Yeah.
Saw the sign.
We were actually on our way to the Spam Museum that day.
Oh, the Spam Museum. Yeah.
We did get there.
I think we may have already been to the Spam Museum.
I don't know.
It was the same trip.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you're ever in Austin, Minnesota, go to the Spam Museum.
It's pretty fun. Museum.
I assume they gave you free samples?
No.
They did give you free samples. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. They had them on a little tray.
They'll sell you a Spam fly swatter and a Spam air freshener.
Mm-hmm. Oh, how fun. Well, do you want to, I know you have other questions you want to ask.
So I'm on Spam right now.
I'm not thinking the other kind of Spam that we all hate, not the good Spam that we all love, you know.
What? How did the album come together?
Yeah.
You know, when you produce an album and not a lot of singles, you know, individually. So what were you thinking?
Well, I don't know. I love CDs. You know, streaming is very disappointing to me. And I love to hold something tangible in my hand. And look at it, see who wrote what song and who the musicians were. And if there's some information on there that's missing, I'm disappointed. Streaming does not do any of that for you. Plus it's MP3s. A CD has so much more audio information built into it. And I will always make physical, whatever the format is, I'll make physical things. You know that we're trying to get into the new age. We have thumb drives and we also have downloads for people that do that stuff. But man, the CD is that's where it's at as far as I'm concerned.
Well, but the car manufacturers aren't making them anymore, so it is hard for people who want to support us but don't have a CD player. So we had to come up with some options for them. But we started talking about songs that we liked, and we knew that we wanted this to be a duet record, which is different than John's last three records were solo records, last four records. So we just thought it would be fun to come up with songs that I could sing lead on too. And that's what makes this record so different, is that I'm singing on it and singing lead. Mm-hmm. So that John's not the only voice you hear. So we just started thinking about songs we like to perform, and John wrote some new songs and we wrote a new song for the record. And so it just kind of came together. We recorded all of our parts at our house in Montana. And then we sent them off to Merle Briganti, who co-produced the record with us in Texas. And he collected other musicians and put it together. And then while we were down in Texas, we'd scoot over to Merle's and he'd play us what he had. And we spent several days with him finalizing the mixes.
The cool thing about involving Merle is because he has his musicians, his go-to musicians, and we have ours. And so we mix. It was like a blended marriage kind of thing. Mm-hmm. With Merle's ears and his abilities on the computer and the keyboard with this his software, he's an amazing amazing engineer and a hell of a drummer.
Yeah.
I guess that's his background. He used to be right in Nashville.
Yeah.
And drumming away.
Yes, right. And we've met Merle several times along with Sarah. They're just delightful.
They really are
delightful. Let's get to another song. And if Sam, if you're listening, Sam, we're going to be calling for "I Want Love to Come Home Again." But why don't you two just tell us or a little something about it, and then Sam's going to spin it for us.
Go for it, John.
Well, I wrote this song with my friend Ann Sibley, who. Used to live in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, but she and her husband, Pete, moved to Carmel, California years ago.
Okay.
And I don't know, Ann came up with the idea, of "I Want Love to Come Home Again." And it's there's really not a whole lot of backstory to it. It's an idea she had, and we just kind of crafted it, and we tried to make it as simple as possible.
Mm-hmm. And, okay. Sorry.
Oh no, it's a pretty song, and Joanne does a wonderful job of singing.
So from the new album On My Way Home, Sam, let's hear "I Want Love to Come Home Again," song number 3.
I want love to come home again. Walk in the door, don't knock, just come in. Please put an end to how quiet it's been. It's time to restart living. And I want love to grace these rooms, shaping capture the way that I feel in your arms when it's late in the evening. I want love to come home again, bring it right back to where it began. It can't be too
Well, I've become home again. You did a great job on that, Joanne.
Thank you so much. And our friend Bill Payne, who plays with Little Feet, was playing piano on that track. And that's
Little Feet, okay.
Gorgeous piano.
Wow.
You know, the next song is a great backstory, "The Print Behind the Bar." Mm-hmm. Who wants to talk about that one?
Well, I think that must be me. It's actually a true story. The song is about... There's a Charlie Russell painting called "Bronk to Breakfast," and it's a painting of a guy trying to stay in his seat on this bronc that's busting through a cow camp, right through the camp, the fire, and cowboys scattering. And it's probably one of Charlie Russell's more famous paintings. And Charlie was well known for putting people that he knew in his paintings, and sometimes he put himself in there, and he did that in this one too. But I was cowboying on a ranch back in when I was in my late 20s, and on the wall of this guy's house that I was working for was this painting, a print of this painting with names written on it. And I asked him about it, and the story was that his father had owned a bar in Bozeman and had that print behind the bar, and this old-time cowboy walked in and said, "I knew a lot of the guys in that painting." And he literally wrote the names on the painting, and that's the one I was looking at. And it took me 30 years to figure out that might make a song. But But yeah. the song pretty much is a true story as I was told it.
Okay. And Sam, if you're listening, this is song number 3, The Print Behind the Bar. Let's take a listen.
It was kind of slow that afternoon in 1954. I was wiping off the bar top when he shuffled through the door. Montana in those younger days could still be pretty wild. And here came an old-time cowboy. He pulled up a stool and smiled. As he sipped his beer with hands made up of calluses and scars, his aging eyes soon settled on a print behind the bar. It was a painting of a breakfast ruined by a bucking steed. While cowboys whooped and scattered, he said, "Can I see that, please?" After handing him the little print, I stood there just waiting. He finally spoke and said, "I knew the man in this here painting. Though it seems like only yesterday, I'm the last one left alive. From that morning up by Martinsdale in 1885. You see, that's old Doc Nelson on the prompt. At barely 19 years, George Cannon's on the wagon wheel cause the action got too near. And there's Steve Cooper by the cook, Sim Roberts standing round. And the painter put himself in here, that's Charlie on the ground."
Brent Behind the Bar, that's a great song. You know, Bob and I have a story that's very similar, but we just don't have time to talk about it. So we're going to slip on to the next song, Richmond.
Oh, this is a fabulous song, and you have just released it as the first single off the album. Tell us about Richmond.
Oh, Richmond was I had a melody in my head, and so I. They kind of fleshed it out, and I wasn't sure what to write it about. A lot of times songs will inform you what they want to be about, and I really had no idea when I started it. But I was being influenced by a song that our friend Tim O'Brien had written. There's an old Irish tune called The Gary Owen. George Custer used as his theme song. And if you ever saw the movie Little Big Man, he would bring along a band and while he was attacking and killing indigenous people, he had these guys standing out there playing the Gary Owen. I'm getting in too deep here. Originally that song was Vicksburg, but I changed it to Richmond because I needed a southern town. And in the lyrics, you know, that says the beautiful hills around Richmond. I had never been to Richmond, and I had never been there until probably, well, during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. I wrote that song probably 20 years ago. I was very happy to find out that there are beautiful hills.
And it's not like this is I don't have any favorites. I love every single song on this album. This one gets my attention partly because we're not going to do a spoiler alert. There's a little twist at the end, and so you listeners need to buy this CD for a bunch of reasons, but one is to hear the whole song. And Sam, if you would now spin number 4, Richmond, for us, we'll take a listen.
My dearest mother, I know it's been years Sansa sent you a letter to quiet your fears for the fate of your son on the lawless frontier, and to ask if you're well there in Richmond. When I came west at the end of the war, a man could get wealthy digging for ore. So I worked on a mining claim 2 years and four, but I never got much for my trouble. So tell the girls of the county to pin up their hair, start making the pretty gowns they want to wear to the ball that we'll throw just as soon as I'm there. For I want to come back home to Richmond.
Welcome back. We just been listening to Richmond. What a nice song.
Yes. Such a pretty, pretty song.
Yes. Beautiful song. And Joanne, there's a video available for those who would like to see it. It is so well done and moving. And I must have watched through it 4 or 5 times last night. And I got choked up several times because you just found the right images to accompany that song. Do you want to just tell us just a moment about the video and maybe where people can find
it? Again, I spent my career making music videos, so it was so funny that we didn't have a music video for this. And I thought, well, I could just put together some images in Vicksburg and of old fashioned people and kind of get the sense. And I'd never really tried to do it before. So I sat down at my computer with my iMovie program, and it took me about 2 hours to put that whole thing together.
Wow.
And so it was really kind of fun. And I remember saying, honey, I made a video. And you know, it looked good. So you know what I'll do?
Yeah, she called me in upstairs. She said, hey, come check this out. She was about halfway done.
You know what I'll do? I'll put it up on YouTube so everybody can see it. If they
That'd
go to
great.
John Lowell's page on YouTube, and we'll see if we can maybe add it to the website too. So
that'd be great. And then we can also bring it on over to Rendezvous and such. All right, we're going to move into another song because we don't want to run out of time. And that will be Stagecoach Mary. Another one steeped in history. Tell us about this one.
Well, Stagecoach Mary was an actual person. She lived in Cascade, Montana. She was a freed slave, and she was a tough customer. If you do a Google search or an internet search on images of Stagecoach Mary, she looks like someone you would not want to tangle with. But she had a mail route, and she delivered the mail between Cascade and the St. Peter's Mission every day for 30 years, something like that. But she smoked cigars, she cussed, she drank whiskey, but she was a gentle soul, and everybody in Cascade loved her. And when she died, there was just like this, the whole town showed up. And this was a songwriting exercise that Sarah Pierce and I did together with the International Western Music Association. They have a thing called team penning, which is basically, they often pair a songwriter with a poet, but Sarah and I are both songwriters, but they don't really care. That's just what they suggest. And she suggested Stagecoach Mary, and I said, that sounds great to me. Let's do that. And I think Sarah is going to record this song herself. So I'm really looking forward to what she comes up with.
Right.
All right, we're going to take a listen. Let's see, Sam, this should be track number 5, Stagecoach Mary, if I got that right.
She gave her time to little kids to help them read and write. Fed old stray dogs that had no home to go back to at night. As evening fell on Cascade Town, you'd find her in the bar, drinking whiskey with the boys and smoking cheap cigars. When Mary was laid down to rest, the town shut shut down in the Sunday best. And though they mostly sang off key, her send off hymn was Abide With Me.
Abide with me. Fast falls the eventide.
Stagecoach Mary, get your gun. It's time to make your daily run. You know old Moses knows his way. No better mule beneath the sun. So hitch the team and pack the coach to cross the rugged plains. Town folk, trust the mail is safe with your hands upon the reins. Town folk, trust the mail is safe with your hands upon the reins.
And we're back. That was Stagecoach Mary. And we're just looking at time. We got more music to share, but first, we're going to step away for just a moment to tell you about one of the places you can order the books of many of our author guests. Find their books on the Out West Shop affiliate page on bookshop.org. And don't go away, because when we come back from that, we'll hear a little bit of Jerusalem's Choir. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Story is everything. Find a great one on Out West Shop's bookshop. Go to outwestshop.com, find books and CDs on the menu, choose Shop Out West on bookshop.org. Browse through featured authors on Rendezvous with a Writer. Explore curated book lists and our featured picks. Add in note cards, calendars, and jigsaw puzzles. One-stop shopping for great gifts. Use the search box to find thousands more titles. Make the switch. Your purchase supports us as independent booksellers. That's our story.
Some years I've been walking the line, swinging this hammer in a cold, dark mine. I'd like to say that I'm doing fine, but I'm just getting older and tired. I work down here, but I can't ever leave. Black hole, black heart, black air that I breathe. But I'll see the light on the day I'm received, and I'll be singing in Jerusalem's choir.
Oh, good Lord, when my time's at hand, carry me home up to the promised land. I want to play in the angel band. I want to sing in Jerusalem's choir.
Jerusalem's Choir. Yeah, we have another song we need to get here real quick. Ghosts Upon My Back.
I love this song.
Sam, number 7.
My name is Levi Wheeler, and this is surely my last night. So I'll write my final story by this dying firelight. When I was just about 16 years, my brother Joe did say, I'll not break my back behind the plow, let's find a better way. We joined up with an outlaw gang, and fairly soon I saw robbing banks is easy money when there's no sign of the law. I used to think those wanted posters up on every lawman's wall made me into some sort of hero, but it's not that way at all. I know that there are riders coming, and I'm sure they've cut my track. So tell me, what's the point of living when there our ghost upon your back.
Love
ghost upon my back. John, yeah. You want to say a couple words about that one?
Well, we wrote that one together, actually, which was kind of fun. That happens sometimes. John will play me a song and I'll say, we've heard a lot about Laredo. Let's do a different town.
Yeah. Or,
so this one we actually kind of dove in together, which was fun.
It's just a great song. And I am looking at time. Oh, my goodness. I hope you had as much fun as we did. And I just love Sam. Thank you for playing the music. StreamYard knows how to. It just sounds fabulous. So we're delighted to have shared this time with you. Tell us quickly, where can people find you, follow you, and buy your music?
JohnLowell.com is probably the best place. We can send you a CD. We have these little thumb drives or downloads, SoundCloud download. Joanne,
there are some tour dates there, so you can see where we are, because we do play all over, and you can kind of follow us there. We've got some things coming up already on the books for next spring, so we're looking forward to having a busy summer and play music for a lot of people.
Yeah. Will we see you in Albuquerque in November?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Absolutely.
Very good.
Very good. Yeah. Jim has a quote from a lyric.
This is from a song that was on the album that we didn't play. And the name of the song is Raven Black Hair.
Mm.
And it's an old cowboy. He's remembering a moment in time. Now my days in the saddle have long since been over. I'm old and I'm bent. I can't ride anymore. But I let my mind wander as I rock in this chair to the days of my youth and her raven black hair. Sometimes I dream that I'm still dancing there, gazing into her eyes, framed by raven black hair.
That's so wonderful.
I like the passage.
Yes. Well, what I've said about this album, and I'll say it here too, is there is every single song is a gem. And we still are the old-fashioned folks that hit repeat, get up, hit repeat. Over and over again. And you should not multitask when you are listening to this song, this album. That would be my advice, at least initially. Find a quiet spot, pour a favorite beverage, get into a comfortable chair, and just say, this will be my entertainment through these 12 songs. And don't try to do anything else. This music will transport you. You will go back home. It will help. It will encourage you to have memories of your own that will come up. These lyrics will remind you of things in your own life. And it is deeply grounded in history, Western history, but it speaks, I think, to all of us. It's relevant to all of us. And you need it. And your soul needs it. And you need to get it. So,
thank you, Bobby Jean.
You can tell we're fans.
Man, well, and we're fans of yours.
You can't really be much more adamant than that. Thank you.
Well, we thank you all for joining us for tonight. Again, this is episode 185. If you go looking for it, you can catch the replay video on the Rendezvous with a Writer Facebook page, on the LA Talk Radio Facebook page, and on the LA Talk Radio YouTube page. And then the audio I will have posted later this evening on Podbean, so you can catch it on Spotify and Amazon Music and all your favorite places. We want to say a special thank you to Sam, our engineer, our producer, and tonight again, our DJ. Thank you, Sam of LA Talk Radio. Thank you to our sponsors, Blue Cottage Agency and Clicks by Madison. And of course, to Alex and the Hot Texas Swing Band, and to both of you, John and Joanne Lowell. And next week, come on back for another rendezvous, and we'll have to have you back next year. Maybe after we take that whole music trip together.
Let's do it. Scotland next year.
Yeah. So let's see. Next week, Charlie Amos is joining us. We will be talking about the first two books of I think it's a trilogy or maybe more that he's working on. And his first book is On the Scout, Green Country Series, Book 1. And Book 2, Call in the Dogs. And we are looking forward. They're great fun. We're already diving in. And Charlie, if you're listening, we look forward to seeing you next week. Jim, do you have a final comment?
Well, as we always say, it's always a great day out west.
Keep writing.
We'll keep reading.
And singing.
We'll keep listening.
We'll keep listening. And we'll see you down the trail. See you next week.
Thank you.